Blog Talk Radio. Because of the lion shall break every chain. Conquering lion shall break every chain. Give him the victory again and again.
Here, y'all on?
Yes, sir.
I'm on.
All right. Good day to y'all.
Sister Thomas says she won't be able to come on today because she just had a new grandbaby last night.
Okay.
she have to take care of the other grandchildren. She's babysitting and stuff, so she won't be able to come on. But the subject that we're talking about is the number one subject that when you are searching for knowledge, like we have searched for knowledge, and it takes you many years of searching for knowledge, so you come into this knowledge, what we're talking about, because this knowledge that we are talking about right now, the mind deals with a science that you have to be very familiar with. Two sciences, really three, is biology, which is the study of plants and animals. See, in this language, This word biology carries with it two sciences, one botany and one zoology, meaning one is plant and animal. The next subject that you have to have a hell of a working knowledge on is the science of eugenics. What is eugenics? When you study the science of eugenics, you have to have one hell of a knowledge up on anatomy. How is your body made and function? And we are sharing with you the knowledge of many years of us studying these sciences that most people haven't studied these sciences because of the simple reason of the science of eugenics. You've been, everybody look like us has been genocided. I don't give a damn what government system that you up under, you have been genocided. Let's look at something, Brother Mahan, Brother June. All governments that's in the civilized world has its own God, has its own language, has its own belief, has its own holiday. Every government. Every government in the world is a secret society. Once they say government, a secret society started that. Now, when you come to power, this is what they know in esoteric knowledge. You come to power only when you come to a point. We're talking, when we come to a point, we're talking with two geometrical instruments, a compass and a square, we're going to use. The compass, when you put that point, it's the sharpest part of that instrument of it, and take it around, it creates 360 degrees. Can't nothing get inside that, but that point is the 13th number, which is the center, which is signifies unity. And the only way that you can be united is that you have to come to a point. But if your education and your religion was incorrect, or deceptive intelligence, you wouldn't be in the shape you in at 2024 with your offspring. See, your offsprings don't fall from the tree, they say. And the top of the African, black African American classes that graduated out of these classes, the bigger percent of them is either in jail or dead. The educated system in America is the killing field. Deceptive information that he has taught to you to be a believer of his school of thoughts to the point where you believe that a white boy that died 2,024 years ago in the Eastern Hemisphere came across the water from the Eastern Hemisphere to the Western Hemisphere, he would give you salvation when you die. This is the belief of black, the majority of the people that is 54 years old, call themselves Black African American. The word black is an adjective. It modifies a noun. A noun is a name of person, place, or thing. You are a noun. When you put black on that, you've been modifying yourself to the point where you became Black Muslim, Black Hebrew Israelite, Black African American Christian Gentile. You even think that you're a white person, because if you go into any black church, they're going to tell you that they Gentile. This is how lost the minds is right now. I mean, we're only reasoning. We're not attacking anybody. We're reasoning. It says,
mm-hmm.
Your Bible, it said, come let us reason together. And so right now we are reasoning with you. This dead book, and I want you to expound on this one, because I'm coming out of a tablet that I wrote in 1998. I wrote this lecture down. The languages of the world, most of them is Romantic languages coming from the Romantic people versus the pure language. If you go into your books, the pure language is the language that everybody spoke at one time. Your Bible, your Quran, all these books, these religious books will tell you that once upon a time everybody spoke the same language. The pure language versus the Romantic language, that's what has romanticized you into believing this. So could you expound on that, Brother Mahal?
Yeah.
I know I might have been catching you as surprised because I didn't talk to you on what I was going to say.
Well, our intent was to start the conversation the first time last week, that we were opening up with language and language of the mind and as such. My experience in dealing with, doing IT for these medical facilities is that we have people from literally all over the world, everywhere. I mean, Bosnia, Serbia, and all of this underneath, and I'm just edifying something you said, underneath the language that you hear them speaking now in their own local way of speaking, they still have remnants of the original language before it got to what it is that they're speaking now. And many of the words that they have in their own vocal, this isn't in Africa and all these other places too, because we got folks from Cameroon, Gabon, Sierra Leone, I mean, Eritrea, Ethiopia, Nigeria, you name it, they South Africa. And when I talk to them, I hear what they're speaking now when I hear them speak to one another. But then I ask them, is there some other language that they speak that is uniquely theirs? And everyone's response has been, yes, there is. And does it bear any resemblance to what we hear them speaking now? Not necessarily. So when you just cut back a minute to what you said, the Romance language, they like to say Latin. People like to pick on Latin. And the word Latin, it means tongue or dialect. That's its original meaning before they turned and start saying there's such a thing as Latin people. And you know, the only place on the planet, by the way, that you use the term Latin is when they say Latin America. I know you're familiar with that, Brother Duarte. They don't call Italy Latin Europe or that part of Europe or Latin Mediterranean. You don't hear them say that. But over here, regardless of what their country boundaries are, they say Latin America. So you say, okay, what's all this part of Latin America? Okay, Cuba. Well, Cuba is not attached to the South American continent. It's, you know, that part of the of this world. However, they're counted in that. Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, and other places. And then, of course, when you get onto the South American continent, from Argentina, Peru, and all these places, all the way up to Mexico. And then they have a subcategory where they say Hispanic as a classification. Hispaniola. You know, that would be Spain. But before they got these titles and names that they have now, you know, Iberia and other names that they were known as. But Latin is supposed to be cut, or the Romance languages are all allegedly linked to Latin, French, Portuguese, Spanish, other types of dialects. And they say, well, yeah, they're all related to Latin. Well, Latin itself, upon close examination, comes from an original language that people were speaking. So Latin did not necessarily just show up on the spot just like that, and it's a completely different thing, and everyone had to sit down and be taught this quote-unquote new language. It's actually cut from the old, old languages that were already spoken. So that's a whole nother thing. And when I was teaching Hebrew and Arabic some years ago, that's when I was informed by a brother from Mexico that what they speak in Mexico has a minimum of 4,000 Shemitic words. I say, well, that's almost the bulk of your language. He says, yes, with Latin endings. So when I was teaching the language, he said he recognized the verbs. He recognized the adjectives and the pronouns, except where he comes from, same verbs, similar verbs, same definitions, but with Latin endings. So that was an eye-opener for me because I had Spanish and French in high school. Most of us in our age category, Brother Duadia, we had some form of either, you know, Spanish or French, you know, something like that. We did.
But my house.
Yeah.
Before it slipped my mind, you touched down on something. This language that we speak is a Romantic language, but it has two dictionaries. It has the Nor-Webster Dictionary, how it was original, and then they had a Daniel Webster Dictionary of how the original words made changes that Brother Mahal was telling you about. I don't know if we want to let the listening audience know, when you study this is the way you got to study. You had to know what these people, the Anglo-Saxon, the Germanic race of people, their language that they gave us when we got over here, and when they conquered you, they gave you their language. We're the descendants of those people that was the original people that was over here in the Western Hemisphere that don't know how to speak their language that was given to them. You had to know this. This language is Germanic language, and the dictionary you use to identify this language is the Nor-Webster, not the Daniel Webster dictionary.
But right.
I want to emphasize of what when you made that statement about the different dialects and stuff, that is very important that the language that you speak and talk to believe that is the correct language that this language, when you study it, it has these two different dialects to it. So what dialect of this language are you speaking right now?
And here's the catch to this. So when you talk about people like Columbus and all these guys, DeSoto, all these guys who came over here, they only play up one side that they're alleging that they spoke Spanish and or Italian. That wasn't their primary language. That's their business language. Columbus also spoke fluently, and as did other folks who settled the Caribbean, they spoke Chaldean Hebrew, which was their primary. So you've got two ways that they're telling you what these people's names were in the past. So you have Christopher Columbus, okay? Then you find out his name is Cristobal Colon, but that is not the Spanish way. Which is not really pronounced in Spanish. And then you look a little deeper, like you said, every place that is formed and organized, okay, countries and as such, okay, it was all set up according to an order. This is true. So now they go forth, and it's about what order they represent. And then when you dig deeper, this is when you start linking it back to these organizations that these guys belong to. Okay, we can't leave out the women because, see, many of us, we've made a fatal mistake by just only focusing on the male figures from history, and totally they got us to sidestep by only focusing on the male figures where you're not paying attention to the females that's involved because the females are their cohorts. So now when you start looking at enslavement, plantation life, and all of this, you start to ask the question, okay, we get the part about males, but where did these females come from in terms of that? And mind you, these females, they were in all shapes, sizes, and colors. Most importantly, it was the class, the aristocratic class that they were part of, which is why you have this strange history when you get to South Carolina, North Carolina, Savannah, Georgia, and all these other areas, and then you spread out from there, and now you're in Louisiana. You're in other parts, Mississippi, okay? These are the areas that I'm most familiar with. And you're saying, wait a minute, who are these brown people who also own, quote-unquote, who had also people enslaved? Who are these people? You know, especially when it comes to the women. It's like, who are these people? Because when you go back and look, they only got you focusing on the males. And not all of the males, just a certain segment of them. But it was a business. And now, so this is the way they cover up now. Well, you know, it was a business and this, that, and the other. And, oh, wait, time out. This name I'm looking at on this document, who is this guy? And then they get away with saying, well, you know, many of the slaves, you know, they offered them apprenticeship. Apprenticeship is not something you offer to somebody who's enslaved. Apprenticeship, and you coming out of the Navy, you already know the Navy had nothing but apprenticeship programs. You know, they went to their Navy boot camp. They hadn't gone off to or hadn't decided on what MOS skill they were going to ultimately find themselves working in. So some of them, and correct me if I'm wrong, that did not prevent that person from being assigned to a ship or some duty or some naval base somewhere. And they were still performing duties. They weren't sitting around idle. They had these people working. And if the skill set, and you know, the Army for a long time also had this as well too. To be a clerk, now they send you to some school somewhere for people coming in, and they learn to become what you call the MOS has something to do with clerical duties. But back then, you learned all your clerical stuff right after your basic training instead of going to AIT, Advanced Individual Training School. you went straight to your duty station and said, hey, you don't need to go to school. Everything you need to learn is going to be learned right there by you working in the company orderly room or battalion. So that's how you got your certain types of skills going. Likewise, those are still considered apprenticeships. Of course, in the Army, they wasn't using that term, but the Navy still was using that term. You know, as a matter of fact, correct me if I'm wrong, Brother Duarte, some of the rankings on the EM side, lower EM side, the guy could be a machinist, right? But he's an apprentice.
Right.
And that meant the guy didn't go away to the formalized school that the Navy has to offer. So everything he was learning, he still made his rank, but everything he learned, and then a series of tests, you know, like OJT, on-the-job training, that's the name that they use instead of saying apprentice. You know, because I got a couple of other MOSs that I picked
hair.
Up as an enlisted man, too. Right.
The great seal of the United States say you first is an apprentice, then you're a fellow craftsman, and then you're a master mason.
Yes, I'm familiar with that.
That you are an apprentice, and you got E1, E2, E3. You are an apprentice. That's even in the Army or any branch of service. Then when you be E4, you be a third-class petty officer.
Right, then and in the Army, you call the specialist.
Right, and then E5. But, you know, if they had another rank before they had the special ranks. The specialists came during the Vietnam War. They had... You could be a spec 4.
They had a PFC, right. They had a was 5 in first class, and then they had a corporal.
Right. So
Not a corporal, combat arms. So there were several combat arms specialties. Non-combat arms, then you was considered private first class, and then you went to specialist. And instead of after specialist, you become sergeant. You was known as a specialist 5, or in the Army, you said a spec 5.
Right.
All the way up to spec 8. They don't have those anymore.
Right. And see all of
But we was mentioning the apprenticeship and slavery. That's why I brought that up, because the concept behind an apprentice that didn't change. So they want us to think it's different when they're talking about these people we're speaking of and how they only put us in a certain box when it came to how to answer and explain brown-skinned people who also had other brown-skinned people in this country as their property. And somehow you're supposed to – didn't they give us a half-assed story about, well, you know, this person himself, he was a slave. And no, that's not how that worked. Because now when you go back and read the documents is indicating that the person who was now an apprentice – his daddy, who was brown like him, was already owning slaves on that plantation. So now the son is being groomed, who's also a black person, so that he can take over going forward at some point his daddy's business of running that plantation. So an apprentice has to learn all of the skills and everything of everyone's job that was being performed on that plantation. See, black folks, we got an awakening coming too. It ain't only just looking at the quote-unquote Caucasian people, because many of the brown people owned them as slaves. They was purchasing them straight from the Berbers, who lost their war in Eastern Europe. And now they were being sold to this place. They said they were still purchasing Caucasians up until in the Mississippi Delta up until 1870. So there's quite a few Caucasian folks who do know that history. So the Civil War over here was to get themselves free. That is the Caucasians, by any and every means necessary. And they made a vow that they will never again be put back into slavery. So you hear every now and again in today's social media platforms, some of them, where they're discussing that they're not going to go back into that. We as a people, and it's not all of us, it's only a certain segment of brown people who was involved in that. And those brown people are not our people, because those brown people actually came from someplace else and have blended in with us. But we know them by their genetics, because you were talking about eugenics and all that. Okay, well, there's a reason that you got these Caucasians going all the way back to, for Planned Parenthood and as such, Steinem, whatever her name was.
Margaret Sanger.
When she's coming from a place in knowledge and science, dealing with the people who she associated with, okay, that they knew what they were looking for, and they knew what they wanted to cut off. So it's complicated.
Yep.
It's a complicated ball of wax in terms of what has actually been taking place here. And then we've got dark-skinned, we've got black-skinned folks, melanated folks, I'm going to use that term now, melanated folks riding on the coattails of those of us who are descended of those who were conquered. And they're playing the victim card, which is why we have to get out of that mindset. They're playing the victim card as though their forefathers' situation was the same as ours, until you start reading, going back into the records, looking at where certain names came from, family names and such, and you say, hold up, no, there's something different going on here. Okay? And now when you do that, oh, brother, why do you want to come separate? No, we've been separated. You guys have been playing a game. It's a game of manipulation. They've been playing this game while playing victim at the same time.
And something else that you can see real clearly, it just dawned on me when we was going through some steps. You know how stuff do us. Is that when you see how that system is of it, the military has it, imprinted. Well, let's go back into how your mind was developed off into a government school system. He got the same system. He say it takes you 12 years to complete his education system, which he indoctrinates you. He doesn't educate you. He indoctrinates you on his what he wants you to believe. He in to make you a good American citizen up under government control, his control. These are the things that your mind has to comprehend what we're talking
right.
about. You can see where he said it take you 12 years. Well, in the Masonic order, the number 12 is complete. Now he say if you want to go higher into us, then you go to college and you get a bachelor's of business, and you can go all the way up into a master's degree to be in our way of knowledge. But remember, they got the people that gives you the doctrine in your education books and shit. They done wrote the books of how they wanted to program your mind to be. And you be... When we got back to Margaret Sanger, I want you to talk about this. This is something else that we can see right now. When you mentioned Margaret Sanger, the welfare states and every state in America, I think it must have been around about 1960-64, became a welfare state. We can see in 2024, after 1970, all the states was welfare states. 54 years later, we can see that the welfare states have become police states on the AI. And talk
right.
on that, brother, Mayer, because see, we can
well,
see this goddamn
yes.
shit clearly. Up on
yeah, because here's the thing.
Every state in the union.
Margaret Sanger, right? Margaret Sanger could not have been as successful as she was with you know, what she was saying, she could not be successful without the cooperation of a great many people.
Oh, the government. She had to,
yeah,
she
but
had
the thing
to
is that when I'm talking about all the way down to the low end, because she knew, and she said in her own words of their little meetings, notes from their meetings, that the only way for this to be successful is that she could not go to the black educators of that day. She could not go to, you know, the people, the common people amongst us. No, go through the church and the Negro preacher.
Right. And
was very warm to this. And so they helped carry on the ground as the mules and the oxes this plan. They helped carry the day.
And
don't hear none of them speaking out. The only church I ever heard, whether it's fake or not, who was talking about the sanctity of life was the Vatican, the Catholic Church. Every so often they open their mouths and they say something. But as far as you and I going through the radio, going through YouTube, TikTok, you know, they really aren't, as far as brown people are concerned, melanated people are concerned, they really aren't that many, if any at all, who are publicly out there speaking against what this has done. This is horrible when we talk about this plan of eugenics and to kill off the less desirables. So you got to put her in with Helena Blavatsky. You know, she would be a running counterpart to Margaret Sanger. And she, as her way of pretending to reach out to help people, and this is all part of the mind, manipulation, devaluation, discarding of people, devaluing people, swapping people out with other people. Okay? Today, that is really classified in the DSM manual as a form of a personality disorder.
But Mahal,
today, it's a PD. It's a personality disorder, and there's different flavors of it. HPD, NPD, BP, you name it, they got it. And then they got mild forms, higher forms. So with Margaret Sanger, Helena Blavatsky, and all these people, what they were really, the trip that they were really on was more like psychopath, sociopath, of the worst type, but they had their occultic knowledge and black magic to back them up. And they were not operating alone. That's the key we have to pay attention to.
Right.
So even when melanated folks are talking and they're trying to put up a defense, you know, I guess for them, says, no, stop. They couldn't have done this without the help and participation of other melanated people. They could not have done this like this.
And see, Brother Maya, this started 1950, Codename Project, up under a Democratic belief. These were hardcore Democrat beliefs that believed in the science of eugenics or how to genocide the people that was Negroes, that was colored people. See, this came into existence right after they was experimenting on Negroes with the Tuskegee,
right?
Everything with polio, with everything they used us. He said that it was cheaper to experiment on niggers than rats. That's what the scientists that started this stuff.
Right.
It was cheaper for him to. I got the book. I had to go get. I ain't got my book in front of me, but I know exactly where it is and what book to look at. Where it was cheaper to use niggas than rats on the Tuskegee Foundation.
I was going to mention Tuskegee.
Yeah. On that.
And they got somebody. And they got somebody who was melanated. The nurse. and they're going to sit around and talk about the so-called Caucasian man and this, that, and the other, no doubt it's his program. But you cannot excuse someone who is purported to be one of us helping to carry forth the program. Look, we got up to close to 23 million abortions since they were legally recorded. We don't know what the real true numbers are before Roe v. Wade. We know about what was recorded since that law was passed.
And see another thing that we know right now for a definite fact, the people that call themselves Black African Americans, well, we know for a fact that these people have been Black people. You got a Black face, but your mind, the way you think, what you believe in, the way of life you believe in, your moral laws you believe in, is strictly white. Comes straight from your white daddy. In other words, you suffering from what the Bible called the curse of Ham. You a Hamite, but you're white. The same as a female that thinks that she's a man and a male that thinks that he's a female. They don't know the difference. That's the third law of nature. Your ass is unbalanced. Over 3/4 of the world right now as we speak is unbalanced behind the third law of nature. Third law of nature is balanced. It's balanced. And when you don't have balance, you don't have balance. Ain't equality. Balance ain't equal. Being equal to some goddamn body and fighting for equality, that don't make you balanced. And then that's what you think. Your equality, your equal. You ain't never going to be equal to the and have equality to somebody that's got power over you and you his ex-emancipated slave. He classifies everything look like me and you is that. Because he knows that he has conquered your goddamn mind in his school system. And you believe in him. You had to learn how to live among him, and you had to live with him, but you couldn't have his mind. That's the test of the mind, that I'm in your, testing your ass. Can you, at this point, can you give up his mind and his way of thinking? Because, see, all we're doing is reasoning now, and everything that we're saying is a damn fact. Ain't no goddamn opinion. And all of your books told you that a certain time period, some people would come with this knowledge at certain time periods. And
true.
Time, and we don't give, and you, Brother Mahal, and most of the people that come to you, with this knowledge, want to try to save you. But the person that you're talking to now don't give a damn about you. He ain't trying to save you. He's just doing what some old ancient books say. He was a watchman that tell you the knowledge whether you got damn forbearing or not, whether you understand it or whether you accept it or not. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm telling you the knowledge. I'm telling you where to go. That's all me and Brother Cole, Brother Mahal, Sister Son, we tell you that. Certain people that you have listened to on this program that came out of our study group, we ain't trying to save your ass. We just share knowledge with you and trying to reason with you. And whether if you see it, you see it. If you don't see it, you don't goddamn see it. It don't make me. And I'm probably the hardest one a goddamn bit of different way you see it or not, because I don't love nothing. And see, everybody studied with me, been knowing I've been like that ever since they met me. I've been like this over 50 years, not loving anything. Because Big Mama say, if you loving the Creator with all your mind, you ain't got no goddamn time for nobody else. Well, I finally understood that after three marriages in one shack. This y'all, goddamn it, what Big Mama was talking about. And I realized that before she died at 114 years old in 2013. I realized that before she died. And I thanked her for letting me know that the first commandment, she said, it says love God. She said God with all your mind. Well, I say creator. And who we call our creator, where we first came from, if we loving the laws that will sit here for us, then we ain't got time to love somebody else. And like Big Mama said, if you love anything on earth, it's going to cause your ass pain and sorrow. Well, it was 50-some years ago, I had enough goddamn pain and sorrow. So I had peace of mind. But it's all about how you think. And see, when the religion, especially Christianity, is the worst thing for the mind, because Christianity is an emotional religion. And see, the definition of emotional is a strong feeling, fear, anger, joy, grief. When you emotion, A-B-L-E onto that, that's a person that is easily affected by emotion. A person looking at another person shouting, here he come. That's an emotional person. Emotionism, the tendency of displaying emotion too easily. And time you see that, you hear something about somebody that, well, this is what Christianity have. When the mind gets into this phrase, you're in bad shape. When you become an emotionalist, a person who appeals to the emotion in attempting to pursue others. You got plenty of emotion in all your mega preachers of this. See, then your mind goes through a stage, a degree, a level, and when it becomes sentimental, it's a mixture of thoughts and feelings. And see, this is when the mind is really getting fucked up.
These people are masters. These are the people who tell us read between the lines.
Right.
You and I know if you have two sentences written, and you have one above the other, in between the space of those two sentences is nothing. But they're telling you read between the lines. There's nothing there. So now that middle area psychologically can now be looked at as confusion. These are masters of confusion. They've got people chasing nothing, believing in nothing. And what is the exchange? They're not doing this for nothing now, okay? So they get us worked up in the in-between zone, applying real feelings and emotions, which mostly what it is, and these people are feeding off of our energy. Oh, people, I tell you what, they feed off mine. So let me just pull myself out of that conversation. Because I see it and recognize it for what it is.
Brother Drew. You with us, Brother Drew?
Brother Watson.
See if anybody got the hand held up, as Cole said. Cole told me to start letting people.
Okay,
He said,
press 1 on the poll and we'll get you ready.
And Cole ain't accused me of not letting nobody talk. He told me he had taught me better than that. But me and Brother Mahal get so carried away, we just forget about it.
Yeah. We're trying to mend our ways.
So far, no hands. Is that if anybody want to get in, we'll press 1 on the phone and we'll open your lines.
Yeah, press 1. Now let's look at something, brother. When your mind goes through these, let's look how this mind works. When your mind goes through this emotional state, well, it will put you in this sentiment. And that's a mixture of thoughts and feelings, an emotion regarding to ideas considered as a principal act of judgment. Then you become a sentimental to act from feelings rather than from common sense, emotionally. Now, look how many people is suffering from sentimental. See, let's look at these definitions of what is sentimental. The act from
feelings. Yeah, you're giving sentiment to something, first of all.
Meaning that you believe, you call evil good and good evil. You don't know the difference. And look how many people are suffering from minors in a sentimental state. Now, a sentimentalist is a person who is highly emotional. All you got to do is tell them something. Somebody died and they become stone crazy. I know several people like that. I live over here with people. You say something and it just tears them up, and they have so much grief. All of a sudden they put their mind and their thinking into that grief, into that form of grief.
Mm-hmm.
A sentimentalism, a person who is formed and influenced by sentiment rather than reason, a display
right.
of non-logical thinking, the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, right.
Look how many people is minds is in that state. So we talking
yeah.
about the mind now. We want you to see what we see, and it ain't no goddamn lie. All you got to do is stop looking, listen. Look at the smile of this person born after 1970. This is 54 years. This is the third generation. This is third
uh-huh.
generation. And look at the mind. Of this. And so you had to go back to the year 2000 when they said that 45% of these people were suffering.
They managed to genocide the people in such a way, Brother Dwadia, that
yeah.
this group that you're talking about, born 1970 and after, no boundaries, no one's teaching them boundaries and big numbers except that they run across somebody like me, you, Cole, and Brother Drew, and some of the others that we know. I mean, that's the common cry even for the youngest ones right now in their 20s. It's like, my mama didn't teach me how to set boundaries. And it's like, what? How is your mom? And then you're listening, yeah. okay, was her mom still around? Yeah, grandma's still around. You mean to tell me, have you visited your grandmother before? Yes. Your grandfather? Yes. But none of them talk to you about boundaries whatsoever? No. Okay, I get why you young folks, y'all stay in trouble. You stay in confusion. You stay in depression. I see it. And the things that they need, Brother Dwadia, is the stuff that was handed to you and I freely. I'm born in 1961.
Yeah.
There was definitely order and discipline, being polite. All these things was taught. Plus, I grew up in the Nation of Islam when Elijah Muhammad was alive. Okay, so you know we got a heavy dose of that back then.
Yeah, and see, what you got in America right now, let's look at the generation. Wall babies. Most of the wall babies are dead. That's my mama. She died 2 months ago. She's 100 years old. I'm a baby boomer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 79 years old. The X generation of people is my son, Andre, 54. He born in 1970. His child
mm-hmm.
is a millennium, meaning that the millennium done had children that is the Z nation of people, because a generation that started at 12 years old when a girl, most females come into their cycle at 12 years old, they can have children. It ain't no 33 years like these goddamn white folks believe. It's 33 years to make a generation. It's 12 years. The number 12 is complete. Female go on to her cycle. At 12, she start having children at 12. So you can see that in 2012, that this baby, this millennium baby that came out of the X generation, my son's children, started having children. That baby is, what, 12 years old right now, getting ready to start another generation of people.
Wow. That's crazy.
With a mind, with a certain mindset now, and every 10 years, the mind change. You had to know that, you had to realize this, so you understand what the fuck you're looking at now. Because you're looking at the beast now. You're looking at a one-year-old twerking on TikTok, shaking her ass, got moves like she's been screwing all her goddamn life. She got moves of a hoe.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because
he can't even talk.
I know. You see the YouTube and TikTok videos. Now you got the ones that you know are gone, and they're over there teaching the little girls. The little girls, haven't even learned to command the language yet, and they're teaching them how to twerk. I'm like, what the heck is this? Now, before I left New York City in the 90s, I was invited to some graduation ceremony. It was held in some kind of building or chapel, and I never forget, the music started playing, and it was the little girls. They running down to the center, to the front, not the center, but running down the center to the front. And I'm like, look at these moves they've got already. What is this? You know, you and I come from a different era. We had jazz, we had blues, we had real soul music, we had the James Brown, the Aretha Franklins. We had them. That music was a different kind of music.
And it's a funny thing. It's wrote in these Black African American Christian Bible. It's wrote, do not make your children pass through the fires of Moloch.
Who in the fuck
was Moloch? And what did Moloch believe in? What was his ritual of that cult of people that believe in Moloch the same as your goddamn ass do?
We're getting close to the time, but I want to say this. With all that we have said today, okay, when you hone in on the point about the genocide of a people, there's only one logical thing. If the Creator wants life to continue, and it's something that nobody really wants to say, when you have people who have been genocide, that means what? Irreparable damage beyond repair. In order to continue the people, you must do a replacement. Nobody wants to talk about that.
Yes.
That's the other side of eugenics.
Yeah,
because those who employ eugenics, the science of eugenics against us, the goal was to destroy us as a already existing and developed species of living beings. Now they have decimated much of us. Now we're looking at how do we replace the ones that was destroyed in their mind, totally cut off in their minds. They make bad decisions all the time. Go ahead, bro.
You know, when you see this toddler on TikTok, they got plenty of them. With a mindset of that, you know that a major catastrophe is going to happen with the weather to kill off a bunch of people. Because see, that you can't The only way that you can get rid of a knowledge is you got to kill it off, kill the head, and the ass will die, but Daddy said. That's what Daddy said. And my great-grandpa believed in headshots. You know, don't shoot shoot him in the head. Shoot him in the head, the ass going to die. And it's a funny thing that Daddy told me to, and great-grandpa, you can cut a man's head off. You cut a man's head off, his eyes is going to be buck for down there 24 hours. His body will even stand up and walk. I seen him, we cut his heads off and numb, his body will stand up and walk. Daddy said, my dad and grandpa said, he would cut your head off and your ass didn't know it was even dead. It took 24 hours for your ass to know your ass was dead. But your head,
yeah, that's crazy.
So your mouth was wide open and your eyes was booked. And then the facts that I just told you that my grandfather, great-grandfather, and daddy taught me when I was a little bitty boy, 6 or 7 years old, that lesson came.
Right. Well, it's that time, and I'm going to say to the listening audience, Shabbat Shalom Lekem, Salaam Aleikum, until the next time. And, bro, you can go ahead
and
close the show as well.
We ain't through with this mind here because we got it. Sister Shannon, I know she did a lecture on this, and we're going to do it. I hope that she can come on and do what her lecture on this here too, because you've got to understand it's the mind. It's your mind. It's all about your mind.
Yes, sir.
Kamaliyah.
Kamaliyah.